Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Here's a Stoop story from another astrophysicist, Nobel Prize winner Adam Riess of Johns Hopkins and the Space Telescope Science Institute. He told his story at a tribute to Senator Barbara Mikulski about her dedication to supporting scientific research.
So I'm not from Baltimore, but I came here in 1999 to work at the Space Telescope Science Institute and later Johns Hopkins University. The Space Telescope Science Institute on the campus of Johns Hopkins is the headquarters for the Hubble Space Telescope. We run the telescope. We operate it from there. We'll operate the next telescope, which the senator helped build, the James Webb Space Telescope, from there as well. Now, I came there in 1999, but just the year before I came there, my colleagues and I had made a really startling discovery about the universe. We were looking at exploding stars called supernovae, and we were using them like lighthouses or mile markers to gauge the universe. And we found, to everybody's surprise, that the universe, though it's expanding, is not slowing down. It's actually speeding up. It's accelerating. And that is attributed to this mysterious new component of the universe called dark energy, which we believe now makes up about 70% of the universe, although we still don't really understand the mechanism, exactly how it operates, how it works. And when I came to the Institute in 1999, I had the idea of doing many different experiments with the Hubble Space Telescope to learn more about the dark energy. Now, soon after I arrived at the Institute, I began learning about another unexpectedly powerful force in the universe, Senator Mikulski. And she had been a tremendous advocate for both the building and launching of the Hubble Space Telescope, and then when there were problems with the optics, which the senator referred to as cataracts, she supported efforts to fix the cataracts and get the correct vision for the telescope, which occurred. And so we were very grateful to her already at that point. In 2001, I was using the telescope and had found the most distant supernova at that time. And this one supernova went a long way towards putting to rest people's concerns about whether this result, this thing we had discovered, was true. And the senator came to visit the Institute, and she let it be known that she was very interested in seeing the supernova. I was surprised it wasn't even in her district, but she was still very interested in seeing it, so she came to my office, and we looked at the supernova. She told me about her passion for science. She told me about the chemistry set she had had in the basement of her home, how she'd done all kinds of experiments that had funny smells, and how she imagined maybe she could be Madame Curie, but we're actually very grateful that she continued on in the career path she did. So then fast forward to 2004. Now, the year before was the Space Shuttle Columbia accident, fatal accident, and we were waiting for a servicing mission to the Hubble Space Telescope. The Hubble Space Telescope was literally running on fumes. And much to everybody's surprise, the administrator of NASA at the time, Sean O'Keefe, announced suddenly, surprisingly, that there would be no more servicing missions to the Hubble Space Telescope, that the shuttle could only fly to the space station about 12 more times. And it was a devastating blow to the science community. We had been preparing for this mission. We had new instruments. We had the batteries and gyroscopes the telescope needed to operate, and we were just stuck without it. And Senator Mikulski really rode in like the cavalry. She asked Sean O'Keefe, the NASA administrator, for a second opinion. He did not want to have one provided at first, but she insisted, as I said, unexpectedly powerful. And somehow she was able to change his mind, and she cleverly convinced the McCabe Commission that had studied the shuttle accident to study this question of whether we could return to the Hubble Space Telescope. After they studied it, they decided we could. The astronauts returned to the telescope, thanks to her. They repaired the telescope. We had a brand new working telescope with even better instruments. I used that telescope to find even more distant supernovae, which further confirmed this picture that we had of how the universe was operating. I also had the honor of getting to name a supernova after the senator, Supernova Mikulski, which what's a more perfect metaphor for a senator than a supernova? So a couple of years later, I got that telephone call from Stockholm that all scientists secretly fantasize about, that I would share the Nobel Prize in physics in 2011. And nobody was prouder than the senator about that. And she was so excited about it that just a few weeks later, it was time for our office Halloween party. And the senator let it be known that she was going to attend our Halloween party. And I thought, this is so cool. A sitting senator, you know, she's going to come to our office Halloween party and, like, I don't know, go trick-or-treating with us maybe. I don't know. You know, but it was really, really exciting. So I got dressed up. I dressed up in a tuxedo and tails. I told everybody I was dressed as a Nobel laureate, which maybe doesn't seem like a disguise, but I was actually an economics Nobel laureate was my dress. But the senator came, and she came in this, she had the most amazing costume, this kind of stretchy black material all wrapped around her with little sparkles. She had a telescope in one hand. She had a patch on one side that said, "May the force be with you." She had a patch on the other side that said, "I am 70% of the universe." Now, I've been studying this all my life, and then it just struck me. There she was in front of me, unexpectedly powerful. She controls most of the universe, and nobody knows how she does it. Was this the dark energy? Thank you.
That's Nobel Prize winner Adam Riess. His Stoop story likened Senator Barbara Mikulski's intense support of scientific research to the dark matter he discovered, a force to be reckoned with. You can hear his story and others at stoopstorytelling.com. Next Friday, March 9th at 8 p.m., catch the live Stoop show at the Baltimore Museum of Art. The theme is Intercambio, stories about inspiration and exchange across the border. We have a link to more information at the On the Record page at wypr.org. I'm Sheila Kest. This is On the Record. Hope your weekend is out of this world.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Kast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks!